Like, that game was over by the time the fourth quarter started.
That's not even a goodbye. That's just a slide out the back door.
Yeah. Thanks for the invite. I'll send you a text later tonight. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Pierre LeBrun. How depressing was your house yesterday afternoon?
No, we had a good time.
Red Come on.
Flowing. No, seriously, we had a good party. I mean, it really makes it easier to take because I'm way more a miserable person because I usually, when the Cowboys are on, I close the door to my home office and I watch the game alone because it's better for everyone. And and then I just start seething and yelling at the TV. When we had the crowd there yesterday, I was very social. I love hosting parties. So you've been to one of those, Hazy?
I have.
Yeah.
No, and I think the Cowboys won the day I was there.
You might want to think about a return invite then for him, Pierre.
I did invite him, but he had to work.
Yeah, we're on the air yesterday.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Anyway.
I just buckled myself with red wine and just tried to pretend that the game wasn't even on by that point.
So Pierre, you work in sports. You get sports. And yet, you are still one of those fans that when things aren't going well, you kind of lose your mind. Seems to be a disconnect there.
It is interesting, MJ, because whenever hockey fans come at me, I'm like, man, like, it's just a game.
Exactly.
Like, hockey's work for me, right? I'm just so sort of distanced from the emotion of it and sort of go about my job. But when it's the NFL and the Cowboys, I'm not a very sane person, I'll just be honest.
Well, listen, at least they're 6-6, and they're still
in first, amazingly.
Yeah, they're still in first in the division, so they still have more than a chance of making it in. They're probably still in the driver's seat, although Philly's got the Dolphins this weekend, so right. They'll probably tie them. And the home game coming up. But there's some comparables between what's probably happening in Dallas and what's happening in Montreal right now, because the Montreal Canadiens are having some issues. They have lost six in a row. Carey Price gave up five again last night. The Boo Birds were out with about 3 minutes left. The building emptied.
Yeah.
And it is getting ugly in Montreal.
I remember tweeting it. When the Leafs lost 6-1 in Pittsburgh, I remember tweeting the Leafs are a mess. I should have just repatriated that tweet and changed the team because that's how the Habs look right now. And it really starts in their own end, too. I mean, this is a team that has given up a ton of goals. They're not getting the normal goaltending from Carey Price, for starters, but they are so lost in their zone right now. And it's funny because they spent a lot of time on that Monday in practice, a lot of detailed work on transition and their defensive zone coverage. And then next night they go out and get shellacked 8-1 by the Bruins. And, you know, they're dead last in the NHL in the penalty kill. I don't know if a Claude Julien team has ever been dead last in the NHL on the penalty kill throughout his career, right? It's just bizarre. And it really starts there for me.
It's got to be killing Claude Julien because he does pride himself on coaching good defense, Pierre. Now, I think he kind of put it on the players, though, in his post-game presser when he said, you know, he's trying to be sympathetic and understanding and recognizing that it's not going well. But he also said they're not being coached to play this way, implying that they're not executing the system. They're the ones making the wrong decision. So, I mean, what can a coach do in that situation? Or does Marc Bergevin have to get active? He's got cap space to make something else happen, change the roster a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to force a trade, but you're right. I mean, they have the second most cap space in the National Hockey League. Only Columbus has more. And I think at some point, the Habs have to use their leverage on that. Because what you don't want to do for Montreal is wait till February 24th. Because by that point, everyone gets to make a trade, right? Because the later they go in the year, the less amount of cap space that you need. So if you're Montreal, I think you have to act by the end of January in terms of adding a piece or two to your team. Now, here's the brutal truth, though. I don't know if you're Marc Bergevin, if you're making that kind of trade, if you don't think you're a playoff team.
Right.
So that's the delicate dance here. I mean, listen, they've got a lot of good young players coming. We all know that. One of the top-ranked organizations right now in terms of the pipeline and their youth and all that. I suspect that they don't turn around their season, and it's early yet, but if they don't, you'll start to hear the narrative being about that, about what's coming. But in the meantime, I mean, try selling that to Carey Price and Shea Weber.
Well, that's the whole point, Pierre.
You know, exactly.
Like, this team is built largely on the back the backs of two guys in their 30s making a lot of money with a lot of term left. And it's kind of accepted that by the end of it, it's maybe not going to look so great. Like Price and Weber in 5 years.
This is when they're supposed to be good.
They're supposed to be, you know, prime
time. It's
going to
get worse later.
Absolutely. And that's why Price is taking so much heat.
Yeah, Weber's having an excellent year, by the way. I'll tell you who's hoping that he doesn't, that Shea Weber doesn't retire early, by the way. It's the Nashville Predators, but we won't get into that.
Right.
They are in big trouble with the capture penalties on Shea Weber. No, I mean, listen, I think Dregs mentioned it earlier this week on air about, you know, Taylor Hall, whether or not that would be a potential fit for the Habs. If for no other reason, then the Canadiens could use that kind of injection, but also because they have a cap space, right? And again, you don't want to wait till February for that type of trade if you can help it, because then you got way more competition from teams that suddenly have the cap space to go after him. Whereas, you know, between now and the end of January, there's not a lot of teams that can take on salary. So, again, it comes down to this for me. Does Mark Bergevin believe that one big trade, you know, gets this team back on track? I don't know about that. I really think, quite frankly, that they have to find the solution from within. And they've got a lot of players having off years compared to last year. Max Domi's not been the same player.
No, he hasn't.
That was predictable, though. Know? They had so many guys have great years last year. Some of them were going to take a step back.
That's right. They had a lot of you worked a lot of their games, MJ. They had a lot of guys have
career
years, right? And so there's some natural regression happening. But again, it's not really the offense that's their problem. As of 3 days ago, they were tied for first in the NHL in 5-on-5 goals. So that's not the issue as much as how they have no clue how to defend right now. And you wouldn't, like, going into this year, if you had to say they're going to be good at this and not so good at the other, would you not have had it the other way around?
Yeah, you would think so, based on, again, Price, Weber, Julian, you know, how they perform. And
Philip Deneau being a terrific two-way center, right?
Right.
And all that.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. And I don't know if a lot of that, guys, is, you know, trying to become a better offensive team and sort of losing the balance here, right? In terms of what you need to be. So it's very, very interesting. And it's been a season of incredible up and downs for all kinds of teams. I mean, consider how Dallas and San Jose started the opening month and where they are now. They're right back in the thick of it. Nashville had a great start, and they look a bit lost now. There's been a lot of this all over the league. It's crazy what we know about the Leafs.
With Pierre Lebrun, TSN Hockey Insider. So the Bill Peters situation, I guess, officially was resolved today in the eyes of Brad Treliving and the Flames. And officially, Peters resigned. I didn't see that coming. And honestly, I think the Flames are kind of trying to have their cake and eat it too. Like, we're being thorough, we're getting to the bottom of it. But they never had to fire him. And I think optically, it probably would have been better for them to fire him and say, we don't accept this. We're moving on. I got to believe clearly the lawyer's involved. There's legalese involved.
Right.
But what's your impression of how it got to this point? Why it was a resignation as opposed to a firing?
Well, no one is confirming this part of it. We're certainly trying to find out. But if you're asking me for my gut on this, I think it's exactly that, is that the lawyers are involved, and I would have to think this is more about this being a settlement in terms of the two parties going their separate ways. You know, he was owed this year and next at around $2 million U.S. a year. So the question is, how much of that does he get? You know, I brought this up back on Tuesday on Insider Trading, that a lot of people around the league, aside from the, you know, the bigger picture social ramifications of something this terrible happening and the impact that that's going to have, there's a financial part to this and a potential precedent-setting financial part, right? In terms of coaches normally always getting the rest of their contracts paid out in full when they get fired, and a lot of people around the league examining how this was going to play out. Now, again, I haven't confirmed that there's been a settlement, but it just sort of smells that way right now to me.
What about the league? If it's over for Calgary, I guess, is it over for the league? I know the league has quite a wide berth of rights if they want to, you know, suspend or punish or banish or whatever for a variety of reasons. Where do you think they go for Bill Peters? And how much is this related to the Akeem LU situation and also then What about the Carolina situation? Because there's, you know, there's probably going to be, there could be more of that than hopefully the Kim Il-Yu situation.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of the column I wrote today, MJ, in The Athletic was trying to wrap
Of course
my mind
I read
around.
It, Pierre. Of course I did. Yeah. Well, every day.
You don't have to. But, you know, trying to wrap my mind around what this week has meant for the sport and the league and where it goes from here. And, you know, there are a number of coaches who simply didn't want to go on the record with me. They're trying to take the temperature of the room here and figure out where all this is headed as far as, you know, more stuff coming out, I guess. And you know, the guys I've reached out to, I don't think I have anything to worry about. But my point is everyone's trying to figure out what all this is. And the point of my column is that I think for the time being, there's going to be more tough weeks like this where right. more revelations are going to be made. And that has to happen, I think, for part of the healing to happen. But on the other side of all of this, I'm just hoping that we just have a better workplace environment in the NHL and in other levels for players to be part of. You know, Bruce Boudreau, who did speak to me on the record for the piece, had some, you know, really good stories about what it was like for him and player when he played for the Leafs in the 70s and for other teams. And he mentioned how Joe Crozier, when he was his coach, no one was allowed to speak on the bench. Everyone shut up. I'm the only voice. Like, that's what it went like. And his point was that, you know, there's been a lot of things to think about over the years as far as how, you know, players have been treated and how coaches and players should have certain relationships. And I think, you know, if there's anything positive to come out of what's been a really heavy week, it's the fact that I think the game has to resemble society as far as how people deal with each other. And I think that will be the impact of all this.
I'm waiting to hear from Bettman in some capacity. I mean, this even dating back to the Cherry story, obviously mm-hmm. this Peters story, there's a lot of other stories that appear to be in the air. And it's been a very volatile 2 or 3 weeks for the sport. And he's the commissioner. He's the voice of the league. He's the protector of the brand. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen or heard anything from Bettman. Do you expect to hear from him at some point?
I think at some point, yes, Brian. You know, as the league announced today, they're going to continue to review this matter. Even though it's closed as a Calgary Flames matter, it's not closed as a league matter. And whether or not that means any possible further action regarding Bill Peters as far as a suspension or anything else, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, why is the league still investigating this? Or at least, you know, talking to people, including, of course, as they announced today, they plan on speaking with Hakeem Aliyu, which, of course, they should. And so they're taking this quite seriously. I'm with you. At some point, I think Gary Bettman has to pronounce himself on all this. But I think for now, they want to go through the process behind the scenes and talk to a lot of different people before they do that.
Good stuff, buddy. As always, we'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks for being not too hard on me in the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? That.
That's all right. We'll get you down the road when they miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline for the month of November. Receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or leased. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or online, mapletoyota.com.